Open your spirits. Let's together, those of us inside, outside, the second hall, welcome this dear man of God. There is a man sent from God with a word and with a rod of signs and wonders to this generation. Together, let's welcome the apostle, all the way from the city of Abuja. Rejoice as you welcome Apostle Joshua Selman. The Spirit of the Lord is working.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. What a powerful moment of worship. When we expose our spirits to the atmosphere of His presence, of worship, that is also the atmosphere that brings signs, wonders, miracles. Every time we gather before the Lord, there are specific things we must expect. Number one is that we must expect encounters. An encounter is an experience that makes God real to you. Job said, I have heard of you with the hearing of the eye or the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Encounters are powerful. They create convictions. Without encounters, God will remain a theoretical reality. It takes encounters to make God real. Hallelujah. Number two, in His presence, we must expect transformation. Transformation. Transformation is the name given to the process that makes you become like Christ in experience. Transformation. It says, and we all with faces unveiled, beholding Him as in a mirror, says we are changed from one dimension of glory to the other, even as by the Spirit of God. It's important that we are transformed, so that we rise to superior versions of ourselves. Number three, every time we gather in His presence like this, we must expect the outworkings of His power in miracles, signs, and wonders. The miraculous reveal two things. One, the love of God. Two, the might of God. It is important that these dimensions are experienced in the midst of His people. Hallelujah. Number four, the fourth thing that we must always open up our spirits to experience in atmospheres like this are impartations. Impartations are transferences of spiritual possibilities. The grace that is upon our lives is what is responsible for the results that we command in this kingdom. And grace and peace, the Bible declares, can be multiplied. Mention of grace here that you did not walk into this place with. And the results will show in your life. You must covet earnestly the graces that make for an excellent spiritual life. You must covet earnestly the graces that make for the manifestation of victory in experience. Otherwise, we'll continue to quote scripture with no performance. Blessed is she that believes, the Bible says, for unto her there shall be a performance. Graces that we must covet. And then lastly, we must open up our hearts for the corporate fellowship of the saints. Fellowship is not just preaching. There is something that happens when believers come together under a corporate grace. How good and pleasant it is, the Bible says, when brethren dwell together in unity. It likens it to the oil that runs upon the head of Aaron the priest, down to his beard, to his skirt. And the Bible says there, not in that location, in that state, God had commanded the blessing. This is your house, your home. We welcome you, Lord, we welcome you. This is your house, your home. We welcome you today. I am your house, I'm your home. Pastor Shola, thank you. Thank you. It's always an honor granted me every time I'm here. I really celebrate you and your wife. Thank you, sir. And the leadership of this great ministry. Let's honor Minister Victoria Renze. What a powerful time of worship. I was so blessed. I just sat back there when I came in and just soaking waves and waves of glory. May the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. This is a miracle service. I like our hearts to be opened. I believe that the Lord will do very definite things in our lives this morning. I'm glad to know that this is Resurrection Sunday. This is more than Easter. This is resurrection. Hallelujah. Please be seated. God bless you. Romans chapter 5. Let's contemplate for a few minutes on the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God defines the boundary and the jurisdiction of His commitment to the saints. God cannot be committed to the saints outside of the jurisdiction of Scripture. He has limited Himself to the Word of God, to Scripture. Romans 5, we'll start from verse 1 and 2. Just want to drop something this resurrection morning. Therefore, the Bible says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone say, I have peace with God. This is different from the peace of God. Peace with God. Verse 2. It says, through whom also we have access. Now, notice the progression. I have peace with God. Then this gives me access by faith into His grace, in which we stand, and then we rejoice in hope of the glory of the Lord. It starts with peace, that I have peace with God. It gives me the confidence that provides access by faith into a grace that gives me stability. It gives me hope, produces glory in my life. Notice the progression. The apostle is not just talking nonsense. He's saying that he starts with a revelation that I have peace with God. Now, for a very long time, when we teach on the salvation story, especially during Easter, our focus is usually on the cross. And that is powerful. The cross is one of the cardinal emblems of the Christian faith. If you take the cross out, you've taken a lot out. But then I think that I just want to consider a dimension of the whole reality of Easter, because inasmuch as the cross is powerful, inasmuch as the cross represents the sacrifice of Christ, I want you to really understand that it does not stop at the cross. In fact, it would have been a disaster if it stopped at the cross. The cross represents death. It only represented death that was a communication of love. And I can tell you this, when you study history, there were many other people who died for others. I hope you know that. There were many other spiritual leaders who died for others, historically speaking. We have about 4,000 or so religions of the world. Some of them were not aware of the history, but there have been people who have died for others. In fact, here's how the Bible puts it. Greater love hath no man than this. So a man can actually get to that dimension, that a man laid down his life for his friend. The story does not stop at the cross. If we peg our understanding just at the cross, that is wonderful. It will help us comprehend a dimension of God's love, but it will never be able to produce victory in the life of the believer. Hallelujah. The salvation story and that which Jesus came to do is more than just forgiveness of sin. You have to understand this. It's more than just forgiveness of sin. In fact, it's not just about imparting the life of God to man. It doesn't just stop at forgiveness, atonement, and then imparting the life of God. The Bible lets us know that first and foremost, Jesus came to bring reconciliation. This is a dimension that we must never forget. Reconciliation. Something went wrong from the beginning. Are we together now? Our losing the life of God, the power of God, the grace of God was because something went wrong. And most times, when we teach, we leave the reconciliation part out of it. We focus on the cross, the forgiveness of sin. We focus on the impartation of his life. And those things are wonderful. But we miss out on the fact that one of the major reasons why Jesus came was to demonstrate the Father's intent and desire to be reconciled to his creation. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, please, and verse 20. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. We'll read to 22. The Bible says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. 21. It says, and you who were once alienated. Now look at it. He's telling us a story here. Paul is mentoring the church in Colossae, and he's giving them the story, trying to capture the realities of redemption. And he's describing their state before the reality of redemption happened to them. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your own mind by wicked works, yet now, he didn't just say he had saved, had he reconciled. 22. In the body of his flesh through death. So death was not an end. It was only a means to an end. To reconcile us and then to present us holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. The ministry, the reconciliatory ministry of Jesus cannot be ignored. Listen, I will show you why I'm teaching this. Because you see, if you are not aware that you have peace with God, you will not have the boldness to access righteousness. It's not just, yes, it is a nature given to us, but is sponsored. Activating the reality of righteousness is based on a consciousness that I have peace with God. Write this word, reconcile. Let's talk about it a bit. To reconcile means to restore relationship. To reconcile means to take away the possibility of fear or guilt among or between a group of people. You have to understand this. To reconcile means to restore relationship. To reconcile means to bring to end all guilt and all fear. The first thing that happened to man according to Genesis chapter 3, when you read, the Bible says that their eyes were open and they discovered that they were naked. And the first response we see is that they ran. They ran away from the God who the Bible says is love. It was proof that something went wrong. Adam, the Bible says, the Lord God walking in the cool of the garden, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice, but I hid. Because I was naked. Something has happened to my consciousness. I am aware that there has been a severance of our relationship. And right from Genesis, it's been man's habit to run away from God. Every time we are aware that we do not have peace with him, we run away. We run away. We run away. And now Jesus came as a reflection. You see, the gospel of salvation is the revelation of the Father's love. The gospel of salvation does not just start with the cross. It doesn't even start with Jesus. It is a revelation of the Father's love, demonstrated in and through the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The object of that love being the entire creation, man being the central focus, but not the only. You have to understand this. The gospel of salvation does not just affect man alone. As a result of man's fall, the Bible says the entire creation was subject to bondage. Are we Bible students? And so he did not just come to reconcile man alone. The scripture we read said he came to reconcile all things to himself. Man being the zenith of his creation, but not the only. Even though we have taught extensively about cardinal Christian pillars like righteousness, even though we have taught people about boldness, about faith, there still remains a subconscious fear. Most people are not aware of the implication of what Jesus came to do as far as reconciling them to God. And sadly speaking, and respectfully so, our model of fatherhood largely in our world as it is does not give us a very clear picture of the fatherhood of God. Are we together? In many regards, the earth standard of fatherhood is one that has to do with you earning by reason of doing good things. So if you have a good result, you are a responsible person, you have a job, chances are that you may have a very positive attention from a father. And so we borrow that idea, and that's the template we use to interpret the love of the father and the entire activity around redemption. But it's not exactly so. The reconciliatory ministry of Jesus. He came to reconcile us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll read from verse 17 to 19. It will be difficult for you to receive when you believe that there is some barrier. In fact, I think it was in one of Benny Hinn's crusades. He was saying that after many years of ministering the healing power of Jesus to the nations, he discovered that it seemed like there was a group of people who almost never received from God. And he wondered why. And then, on studying, he found out that most of the people who didn't receive, somewhere at the back of their minds, they believed that there was a divide. It was as a result of something that they had done that was stopping God from blessing them. And they believed that. So regardless the power of God that was in motion, they didn't seem to receive. And Benny Hinn said every time he took the attention away from themselves to focus on Jesus and the love of Jesus, people would stand up from the wheelchair. People would be healed of, you know, very, very terminal diseases. Therefore, the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Next verse. The Bible says, now all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself through that mediator. You know, like two people having issues and someone comes in between. The assignment of that person is to ensure that that bond is restored. This is what Jesus came to do. More than being a savior, more than being the new and living way, he came to bring reconciliation and has given us that same ministry of reconciliation. 19. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their trespasses to them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Do you know what that means? That means everywhere you go, among the many things you do, remind people that the possibility for coming back to be close and reconciled to God is now a reality. Don't just tell them he died for them alone. Don't just tell them they are going to heaven alone. Don't just tell them he's savior. Don't just remind them of the cross alone. Let them know that that divide, the Bible says he shall see the travail of his soul. We discussed it yesterday. And he shall be satisfied. The consciousness that we have peace with God brings to end every fear, brings to end every guilt. Let's look at that scripture again that we started with. Colossians 1 and verse 20. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 from verse 1. And being justified by faith, look up please, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Verse 2. It says, by that peace, we now have access by faith. That means I know that God is not mad at me. I know God is not sad. God is not sitting in heaven trying to scheme my downfall. There is peace. You do not fear when there is peace. Are we together now? The absence of peace creates suspicion. The absence of peace creates fear. God wants us to stand knowing that through Jesus Christ, we not only are partakers of his life and his divine nature, but we have peace with God. When you know you have peace with God, it gives you the audacity to judge prophecies, no matter how accurate they are. If you come and tell me, God does not love me, God is mad at me and all of that, I will appreciate you for your sincere concern and say, that's all right. It gives you confidence to know that even though God uses men to bless you, you have that access. There is no fear. There is no fear. There is no fear. There is no guilt. You stand before him justified by the blood of Jesus. I have peace with God. Now you are not afraid, not of life, nor of death, because you have peace with God. So many people are afraid. Most of the prayers that we pray are not driven by faith. They are driven by fear. When you have peace with God, you know, like Paul, that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You have cheated death while still alive. I have peace with God. Confidence, peace with God. You are not scratching your head wondering, where am I going when I die? Some of those things come as a result of fear. So the days that you think you are all right, you've walked well, you can't remember doing anything wrong, suddenly you believe that you are ready. Then the days that it looks like you quarrel with your wife and so on and so forth, you stand and you are wondering, what will happen right now? No, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, that I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Not just the peace of God, peace with God, knowing that all the records have been straightened out through Jesus. Regardless what my father did, regardless what my grandfather did. You know, in the physical, someone can do something wrong and their children can pay the price for it. Is that true? But when you come to Jesus, the Bible says you have peace with God. Please understand this. And that peace gives you access. Access. The audacity to now walk and obtain the grace. The Bible says through that peace, we have access by faith into his grace. If you are not aware of the peace that you have with God, it's going to be difficult for you to receive in this kingdom. It is not just faith alone that it takes to receive. You need the consciousness that I have peace with God. The Bible says it gives you access into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Your sins forgiven. Your wrongs eroded by the blood of Jesus Christ. You stand before him justified, not through his death alone, but by his resurrection. I hope you know that the resurrection was the basis for our justification. Is that true? If Jesus Christ did not resurrect, we would not be justified. So the Bible lets us know that Jesus did not only come to die, he came to bring reconciliation. I can now call him Abba Father. And I'm not thinking of one deity who is up there. The Lord is nigh them that call upon him. I can call upon him and say, Father, there are people in need. And I know I'm talking to a real person. Because the consciousness of a God that is far into the heavens, sitting on a throne, and someone who is hoping he will hear him, That has gone completely. You will never walk in supernatural power if you do not have the consciousness that you have peace with God. Hallelujah. I have peace with your pastor. And every time I see him, I'm not hoping. What is he thinking now? No, as soon as we see ourselves, we embrace ourselves with joy. Laughter is the proof that things are going well between two people. The first thing that disappears when there is problem is laughter. Joy. Are we together now? Yes, sir. Peace. When I approach him in prayer, I approach him with confidence because I have peace with God. So for me to live truly is Christ, and then to die is gain. The reason why you desire long life is not the fear of death. It's because you need more time to do much for the kingdom. Are you seeing now? For many of us, we dread sickness, we dread death, not just because they are bad, but because we fear that ultimately it will bring us to a point where in the world after now, we are not sure of what will happen. Even though you have professed Jesus as Lord and Savior, the consciousness of peace with God is not there. I do not come into this church believing that someone will harass me or throw me away. I have peace with your pastor. I love him so much. He loves me so much. And every time I see him, I'm happy. He does not give me a drink and I'm watching. He's there poisoning it. That consciousness is not there because I have peace with him. Are we together now? Yes. When you have peace with God, you will trust everything that comes from him. You would not need to probe and vet it. This is a love affair. It's coming from one who loves me and I have peace. My interest is represented in everything that he does. I have peace with God. So if this is the day that the Lord has made, I am happy. All I need to know is who made the day. I know my interest was represented there. I have peace with God. That peace gives you the confidence to now receive. So you are sitting on a wheelchair, or you are diagnosed of an infirmity, whatsoever. The consciousness that I have peace with God immediately takes away that lie that the devil tells you. Who sinned that this man was born blind? Was it him or his father? Jesus said neither, but that the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Are you seeing that now? You will never truly be able to walk in signs and wonders and to be a recipient in experience of the possibilities that are in Christ until you have the consciousness that I have peace with God. Someone say, I have peace with God. The second thing I want us to look at very quickly before we pray is that the consciousness of peace with God now gives you the boldness. According to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, please give it to us. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. On the strength of the awareness of my peace with God, now we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain notice. Boldness is not arrogance. There will ever remain that sense of reverence, that this was not something I earned by myself. This is a product of his love. Boldness is not arrogance. Confidence that is based on this that Jesus did for us, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I come boldly because there is no fear. I come boldly because there is no guilt. I come boldly because I know that I have peace with God. The wall that divide has been crumbled by the reconciliatory ministry of Jesus Christ. When he resurrected, the Bible tells us that he took his blood, that ageless blood of the Lamb, and the Bible says he took it to the Holy of Holies in heaven. He poured it once and for all. Because according to the principles of atonement, the age of the lamb that was slain determines the validity of the atonement. So the Mosaic law mandates that the lamb be 1 year old, so that the validity, the atonement will be 1 year, and then they will renew it. Now the ageless lamb, the Ancient of Days, drained his blood, took it to that most holy place. For you to know how long your atonement is to know the age of the one who died.
In the beginning was the Word. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am
a child of God.
Hallelujah. I have peace with God. I know that God loves me. My idea about God is a father that loves, a father that commits himself to my progress, to my life, and to my destiny. And so I reciprocate by being a responsible son who loves the Father back and demonstrates my love for him by pursuing that which is the heartbeat of the Father. This is very powerful. When the Lord gave me this consciousness, I began to see the move of the Spirit in my life in tremendous proportions. Many times you hear me speak with confidence. I pray you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Do you know the reason why you see me talk? Oh, there's someone, this is happening. Because the consciousness of my oneness with him, for me, it's not just the reconciliatory ministry of Jesus. The superior advantage of my oneness with God, I have indoctrinated myself again and again to know that God's jealousy has been so invested in my life. He loves me and I know it. If it is true that I'm the bride of Christ, more than even just the Son of God, the confidence of every woman is in the love of her husband towards her. So you can stand with confidence knowing that no situation and circumstance will ride over you. Why? Because you have peace with God and you have access to His grace. You stand with confidence even as you minister and dispense the word. No guilt. No fear. This is very powerful. Hebrews chapter 10. Is God blessing someone? Hebrews chapter 10. From verse 19, please give it to us. We'll soon begin to pray. Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, look up, please. Having boldness to enter the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus. The Bible says, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. 21. It says, and having a high priest over the house of God. 22. It says, let us draw near. I like this. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. As you draw near to receive healing, come with full assurance. Don't come hoping, will God heal me? Will I be healed? Will I be changed? Will my life be transformed? We are talking of God who you now have peace with. It says, come with full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. What is an evil conscience? The consciousness, not just the consciousness of maybe being a sinner, the consciousness that there is an angry God who finds pride in your pain, an angry God who finds pride in your sickness. For as long as you believe that God has a hand in your situation, you will not have the faith to receive. Are we together? If you were told that armed robbers, God forbid, you will never happen. But imagine you were told that armed robbers are waiting in front of your house. And then you hear that your pastor has an active hand in the plot. There is something about the love of your pastor that fights that awareness. Is that true? My pastor loves me so much. And then you look at it, there is no benefit. There is no benefit whatsoever in arranging with armed robbers to come and frustrate my life. That consciousness makes you to dump all of that. The Bible calls it an evil conscience. The conscience that holds God responsible for the tragedies that the devil brings in your life. Jesus Christ, one of the ways that we know God is through the person Jesus. Is that true? Jesus is the revelation of the Father. Jesus came, he walked upon the earth, and he came as a correction of our perceptions about God. Because until Jesus came, the prophets who saw in parts and other nations, they blamed God for everything. Many things he did not have a hand in, simply because it was out of the realm of science and reason, and they credited it to God. There are religions today that blame everything on God. So Jesus said, you should not be left in the dark to guess your way around God. This is God, the image of the invisible God. Now, you read your Bible and see everything Jesus did. When he saw sick people, he didn't just pass them and say, God bless you, have a good day. The Bible tells us many times he was moved with compassion. He was a reflection of the Father's heart. When you have this awareness, you know that God is more interested in you being healed than you are. God is more interested in you being lifted. Our fathers, the patriarchs, and even in modern history, most of the people who moved tremendously in the power of God had this one consciousness. They eroded this evil conscience with the awareness of the love of God. They really worked as ambassadors. They worked as people who were representatives of heaven. They worked with confidence. Some of them, the confidence was so great it even delved to arrogance. There was something about their awareness of God. I have been reconciled through Jesus. Now I have access to receive. And that every situation that does not give me peace does not come from him, because he is called the Prince of Peace. Are we together now? Now you look very carefully at your life this morning. What are the situations that negates the revelation of the love of Jesus and the peace of God in your life? You must open up your heart to get away, get out of your life that consciousness that God has a hand in it. And then be ready to receive the miracle, the sign, and the wonder that proves the love of Jesus in reality. When Jesus went to Hades, the place of the dead, the Bible lets us know that he went there. I hope you know that Jesus did not defeat Satan assisted by the Holy Ghost. No. He defeated Satan with the strength of man from the original design. As the second Adam, the Holy Ghost was not there with him in Hades. So the Bible says, Paul, seeing this by revelation, that all the cohorts of darkness were on him to force him to bow. What does bowing do? It's an acknowledgement of one's authority over you. And that was Satan's obsession. Since I could not dethrone God nor run a parallel government, now that you are the image of God, I will force you to bow. And whilst you are bowing, I will say, God, look at your image, bowing to me. In attestation to the fact that I am King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible lets us know that when the legal claims of justice were satisfied, the Bible says he shook them, my God, triumphing over them. And he went to Satan and said, the key you collected from Adam through Eve. Revelations 1 verse 1. I am he that was dead, and now I am alive and I hold the keys. He did not get it on the ground. He got it right in Hades. The key. Access. He now went to the bosom of Abraham and saw so many people who were there. And according to Peter, he preached the gospel to them. And when they believed him, he said, open those gates. Come with me. Read your Bible. Until then, he was the only begotten. But at resurrection, he became the firstborn. Not the only again. His idea was to bring many sons into glory. Look how far God went. And then is it sickness that you will live and be happy? You need to understand the extent that he went to make sure that the hand of Satan was severed over your life. The Bible says when he came from the grave, many of the saints also, they resurrected and walked down the streets of Jerusalem. They were seen. But when he resurrected, you see, Mary saw him and wanted to touch him. She said, Rabboni, he said, don't touch me. There's still something to be done in heaven. am about to fulfill that high priestly ministry. He now went both as the lamb and the high priest. And the Bible says he offered his blood. After he offered his blood, the legal claims of justice were now done. Then a coronation service was held to him in heaven. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies your footstool. The coronation service, Peter saw it, speaking to the church in Philippi, that wherefore God had so highly exalted him, it was in that coronation service that name was given. That at the mention of that name, everything in the heavens, in the earth, under the earth will bow and declare that Jesus is Lord. The name is not Jesus. No. The name that was given to him is not Jesus. Jesus was a name they gave him at birth. The name that he received at his resurrection is called Lord. That's the name. That Jesus who walked upon the earth has now become Lord. Absolute controller. Master. It was given to him. Now he returned on earth and he said, all authority in heaven and the earth has been given unto me. Go with that consciousness. Go with that consciousness that the one who backs you has that authority. Go to your crusade with that consciousness. Live your life on earth with that consciousness that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So when sickness or situations that are unpleasant, when they come to you, you invoke and you provoke that consciousness that the one who stands by me like a mighty, terrible warrior is the one who holds the keys. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Listen, if you begin to think like that, you will be surprised that many of the chains around you, you will turn back and not find them again. Can I tell you this? The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. That means that the things you attract are a product of your consciousness. Your thinking. It's not just enough to pray. There must be something about your consciousness. We must avoid selling ourselves cheap by giving ourselves a wrong consciousness about God. There are things I believe in God, or I believe about God, that have sponsored confidence in my life as I live and as I work. Shortly, we are going to be praying for the sick and praying for all kinds of situations. What gives us the confidence that you will walk out of here free? What gives the confidence that you walk out of here changed? What gives me the confidence that before the end of this week, your life will change? What gives that kind of audacity? It's not because I'm a man of God. No. Christ has become our peace. We have peace with him. We have peace with him. We have peace with him. So I can come and obtain healing. I can come and obtain breakthrough. I can call upon him with confidence, knowing that he will answer. I don't pray and say amen, wondering, did God really hear? Many of us have faith in God through other people. Our faith in God is wonderful, but the faith is routed through their own faith in God. And so when we stand alone, we are unable to call upon him with confidence. But let me tell you something. This resurrection morning should remind you again, even by the power of the Holy Spirit, that I have, the moment you have met Jesus, the only person who does not have peace with God is one who has not taken advantage of the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus. Do you know why we insist that men be saved? It's not just because we desire members in church. No. The only way to have peace with God, then to be a recipient of his life, is through Jesus. No angel, no apostle, no prophet, no denomination, no sermon, no conference, no impartation is able to bring peace with God. But that one man, Jesus. So when we call upon people to come and completely surrender and receive his life in exchange for theirs, it's not just a church activity. It's more than that. It's an advocacy for reconciliation. The Bible says he's committed unto us. We are telling them that, look, that divide that stops you, that allows the devil to perfect you, is gone. Now you just come and accept and receive. From that reconciliation will come righteousness. Giving access to the life of God. Giving access to the grace of God. Giving access to the Holy Spirit. Then it opens you to all the possibilities that are in the kingdom. But there is no other name under heaven given unto men by which we must be saved. Listen to me. In this auditorium, the overflow, outside, and following online, there are people this Resurrection Sunday. You are saying, Apostle, I love Jesus and I love the idea of church. I love the idea of fellowship, cell, group. But I cannot say for sure I have peace with God. The only way to know you have peace with God is if you have met Jesus. Jesus is the only mediator. He's not one of them. The only mediator. If you have met with Jesus, whether you feel like you have peace or not, you have. Because the mediator was thorough. It's not about feeling. This is what we call the assurance of salvation. It's one thing to have salvation, but the assurance of it is based on a consciousness. Not the consciousness of yourself, but the thoroughness and the dexterity of the one who mediated for you. Are we blessed? I want to make an altar call very quickly. Two groups of people. You are here and you are saying, Apostle, I'm tired of living my life. I'm tired of being afraid. Where will I go to after this life? I'm tired of hoping. Am I a Christian? Am I not a Christian? I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of trying by myself. It's time to allow Him win that war in my life. Or you are saying, I love Jesus, but for some reason my life is scattered, my life is haywire, I don't even know where I'm standing right now. There are people inside, there are people outside. Don't delay, don't allow anybody sit down and waste your time and think you are all right. If you have not met that mediator, hear me, you do not have peace with God. You may have peace because money gave you a big house. You may have peace because education gave you a job, but you do not have peace with God. And the Bible says if our hope is only in this life, it says we are of all men most miserable. I will count 1 to 5. I pray that the Spirit of God will speak to someone to sustain the boldness to come and stand here and say, Apostle, I'm ready to make it right with Jesus on this resurrection morning. Is there someone like that? As we appreciate them, don't wait for the first person. Be the first. I will count 1 to 5 because we have to pray. Household of David, celebrate them as they come. Please allow those who are outside to come. If it's for salvation, I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No.
With that word this morning. Resurrection morning.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Apostle, I want to come, but we came in group, and I'm ashamed. Let me tell you, that 33-year-old man in the flesh hung naked on the cross. The covering you see around him was just for social reasons. Hear what I'm telling you. He hung on that cross. If you want to know how serious the sin of man is, look what Jesus went through. It was not a simple issue. Are we together? Listen to me. Take this very serious. This is not just some evangelistic thing. This is the only way, the only truth that leads to the only life. I still believe there are more people. We must get to a point where we are serious about the global harvest.
You laid aside your majesty. Gave up everything for me, suffered at the hand.
of those you have created. You took all my guilt and shame when you died and rose again. Now today you reign in heaven and now exalted. I really want to worship you, my Lord. You have won my heart and I am yours. Forever and ever, I will love you. You are the only one who died for me. Gave your life to set me free. So I lift my hands to you. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him.
You can leave this church today knowing that whether on earth or outside of this earth, you are still victorious. When Jesus rose up on that glorious morning, the resurrection was so powerful. The Bible says there were guards who tried to protect the grave. And then, I can imagine the command that the Father gave from heaven. Angels, you can now go. The Bible says they came and rolled the stone and sat on it. Let me see who rolls it back. When he sat upon that, listen, if you don't believe this, you are not a Christian. What then do you believe? This is the foundational pillar. You can believe in miracles. If you don't believe in the reconciliatory ministry of Jesus, you are not saved. The Bible says that spirit came into that tomb, that grave. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? And the Lord of glory, just for you, just for me, when he resurrected that glorious morning, he came out. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had for me. When the Lord of glory crucified, gave all on Calvary just for me, just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. When he hung upon that cross, like our evangelist will say, it was not nails that held the hand. No. It was the power that held the nails. It was love. You know what Jesus did? It's like a man who has PhD and leaves the PhD because he has it alone. Goes back to nursery school. Starts again, but this time around with you along. And has the PhD back again, what he originally had. But this time around, all of us suddenly see PhD behind our names. How did it come? He already had it from the beginning. But because he was alone, he said, no, I will go back to the nursery class and I will start again and pay that price. If you do not know Jesus and you have not met him, you are not saved. Simple. You may have met an angel. Congratulations. You may be a worker in church. Congratulations. There is no other name. I know that we have religions that have all kinds of names. There are all kinds of pseudo-Christian talks that just bring about all sorts of founders. Brothers and sisters, do not be confused. An archangel did not die for you. There is one Lord. He hung upon that cross. Today he has become our peace. I'm going to still give one more minute for someone who said, I've been going to church. I didn't know that there has to be a conscious decision to make Jesus Lord. I thought it's just about sitting in church. I don't do anything sinful. I don't do anything bad. That's not the issue. I'm about to pray. You can find peace with God this morning. And you can have the peace of God. The highest definition of wealth from God's definition is peace. No matter what else you have, if you do not have peace with God, you have nothing. On Christ the solid rock I stand, truly all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Those of you who are in front, some of you are crying. Don't be ashamed of your tears. Coming to Jesus is not like coming for a funeral. He's risen already. The grave is empty. Believe me. That grave is empty. If you ever see any dead body in that grave, it's not Jesus. No, sir. Every founder's body is still there. The skeletons are there to show their humanity. But Jesus, the hymn says, up from the grave he arose with the mighty triumph for his foe. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever, even with his saints to reign. Please lift your hands, those of you who are in front here. If this is all we do this morning, I'm still satisfied. Because someday when this life is over, we'll stand at the shores of eternity and see ourselves again and rejoice that we made it serious with Jesus. Please say after me, those of you in front, loud and clear, passionately. Jesus is standing here. You're not reciting a poem. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart. This morning, I'm here before you, declaring your love for me. And I declare that from today, you are my Savior, my Lord, my King. I declare that the power of sin, of Satan, of the grave is broken over my life. From today, I receive the abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness, and I declare that I reign. I declare that I have peace with God. No more guilt, no more shame. I am a child of God forever. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Is it all right if we sing, even if it's a stanza of this hymn?
Da 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 da, da 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 da, da 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 da. Da 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 da, da 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 da, da 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 da. Hearing the love of Christ, I stand.
Is that, will that be fine? As I just stood here, that was what I was hearing in my spirit. It was as though it was an angelic choir singing that song. Even if it's just a stanza, and we'll pray. Is God wasting your time this morning? For all of you who have made this decision, what do we do? Okay. Now, please, all of you, there is a gentleman, there are counselors waving their hands. Please help that our dear sister on the ground. Let's celebrate them as they all move in concert. A group of people will talk with you very briefly, and you'll be back to your seats. Can we sing, even if it's just a stanza?
Yes, sir.
And then we'll be ready to pray. Please, for me. And at this Resurrection Sunday, I come back with a heart full of thanks. If someone grateful, lift your voice and pray. It will be a very brief session. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Romans 8. Alice Kila Haskubriakata. Please read it with me. One to read. He who did not spare his son. Please look up. That means if this is 1,000 naira, if I desperately want this, I will place more value on it than the 1,000 naira. I will be willing to give up that 1,000 for this. When you want to buy something in the market, for as long as you carry that product, you don't go back thinking about the money you dropped, because what you bought was more valuable to you. This is what happened. That God was looking at man and he said, Jesus, go. And even when Jesus was crying, he said, I love you, but my attention is on man. Still die. Not your tears will stop me. And he said, are you not looking at me, Father? He says, my attention, Eloi, Eloi, lamak sabachthani. Why have you turned? Turn to where? To man. To man. Where is your attention? My Father, I was the object of your gaze. What is happening? I have loved you with an everlasting love. He fixed his gaze on Joshua Selman. Not even the pain of Jesus stopped him. It tells you how much he values me. That same God will not sit down and watch sickness eat up your body. Listen to what I'm telling you. That same Jesus will not sit down and allow financial situations throw you down. With this consciousness, lift your voice and say, Lord, I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to receive. If the tears of Jesus did not stop you, if the pain that the Son of the Living God went through, the cry, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, and yet his love for you did not change his mind, how much more? Please keep that scripture there while we pray. How much more? Shalakata bakatosh. How much more will he not elevate your ministry? How much more will he not bring the anointing to your destiny? Someone pray. If this is what Jesus went through as proof of the Father's love, how much more will he not heal that blood condition? How much more will he not rid you from the hands of curses and yokes and all kinds of demonic orchestrations? This is resurrection. Justified by his resurrection. I know I am valuable because of the price that was paid. The price that was paid was not money. The price that was paid was not education. The price that was paid was not even time. Hallelujah. Listen to me. The next time you ever doubt your value, remember the price that was used to buy you. The next time situations make you look like you are a villager, nobody knows you, you can't speak English well, and all that nonsense the devil brings, just remember Jesus. Jesus was the currency that was used to buy you. Not dollars. Not gold. God had to use Jesus to buy you. And now sickness is trying to buy you back. It's up to you to believe whether sickness is more powerful than that price that was paid. But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep. He does not just buy, he can keep. Keep that which is committed to him against that day. That means in judgment, Jesus has to give account. Did you keep him? Listen, when he gave one 5 talents, he gave one. The one who did not keep it, the The owner came and said, I gave you stewardship. Do you know what it means to give your life to Jesus? That means you are saying, I come under your covering and I trust your ability to keep me. If sickness is violating that, Jesus had to give account of the disciples. John 17, all that you have given me, I have kept, and none is lost except the son of perdition. And that scripture will be fulfilled. Even for us men of God, when God gives us believers, he says we watch over their souls, and God will ask us. So someone needs to shout to heaven, Jesus, look at the body that you bought. Sickness is trying to eat up that body. Look at the destiny that you died for. This financial problem, no. Can you pray that prayer in 1 minute as I begin to minister by the Spirit? Just a few minutes and we're done this morning. My goal is planting that consciousness. Jesus is the currency that was used to reconcile me to God. Such an expensive currency. Therefore, sickness has no place. Therefore, failure has no place. Therefore, defeat has no place. This is not a Pentecostal talk. This is scripture. I refuse to fail. I refuse to be weak. Next few minutes, you are going to wave everything that is not God in your life goodbye once, and it must wave you back in the name of Jesus Christ. This is the implication of resurrection. Implication. The Lord is showing me a woman. You're trusting God for the fruit of the womb. I've seen 4 years. You've been trusting God for 4 years. Who is that person? 4 years. Come. What's your name, madam? Huh? I'm seeing another woman. It's like you're wearing green with a nose mask. This is what I'm seeing in a vision. Remember what I taught here. Do not forget you have peace with God. Don't stand here wondering. Apostle, many people have prayed for me. You just had a message. Believe in Jesus. Please make sure you're married. Hallelujah. Please look at me. Jesus, hear me. Jesus was the price that was used to not only purchase you, but everything that comes along with you. Jesus. Always remember. Jesus. I bring out 1,000 naira. For instance, this is 1,000 naira. And I want to buy this. Every time someone says this is cheap, you remember what was used to buy. This time around, since Jesus is not here physically, let me just use this. This is what was used. This is what was used to buy back that nonsense of barrenness and all that thing. So you believe it. It is on the strength of that that you can stand in faith, believing that according to the time of life you will return with joy. It is not just on the strength of the prophecy that is spoken. That is only a support system. The real foundation for your confidence is the person Jesus and the price that was invested to make this happen. Are we together? Father, in the name of Jesus, this is a miracle service, and I pray, releasing my faith over these precious ones. It doesn't matter how long they have been without children. Your word declares that you make the barren to sing for joy, to become a joyful mother of children. Therefore, I rebuke every force and every orchestration of darkness that may be responsible for this. We veto and change every medical situation that may be responsible for this delay in childbirth. And in the name of Jesus, we decree and declare that according to the time of life, return with your children. Please believe it. In the name of Jesus, according to the time of life, return with your children. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please go back to your seat rejoicing. Now, the Holy Spirit is leading me. Hold on, please. The Holy Spirit is leading me to pray a very serious prayer. Not for you. You can go back. Don't feel bad. If you are here and you have a child or some children that you are trusting God for their salvation and you are trusting God for transformation, you understand what I'm saying? Some of these children that have really brought trouble to families, maybe is into drugs, into something else, and you are trusting that the end has come. I want you to come and stand here. Let me agree with you very quickly, please. This is what the Holy Spirit is ministering to me. There are families that have these kids that will not listen. Every day police, every day court, every day one problem or the other. There is a way out, oh. There is nobody Jesus cannot save. I was in just a few days ago and praying for a family, quite a noble family, and they brought this young man, and you could see exhaustion from the family they had tried. Then the pastor now brought someone who was now working in their media, and he said, Apostle, 2 years ago when you came, this boy was an extremely wayward boy. You prayed for him. Now look at him, completely rehabilitated. He's working in the media department of the church. Please don't give up on people. The power of Jesus Christ, the power of the cross, the power of his resurrection. And if you are the one we are talking about, come and join them. Praise the Lord. Because some of you probably came with them to church. Listen, the church is not the place where we condemn. Nobody is pointing fingers at you. But at the same time, you should not be left the way you are. You come as you are, but you don't remain as you are. Praise the name of the Lord. Can I tell you this? 99 or 98% of this waywardness, they are spirits. Most of the people, those who still will tell you, it's like word of knowledge, where the devil tells them, no matter where you hide money, they will go and find it. And then some of them are part of very useless associations. They may not want to be involved in all these things, but simply because they have friends that are deriving maybe financial benefit from them. Please come and stand. I want to pray for you. I hope God is not wasting our time. You're standing for yourself. You're standing for your loved one. You're saying, Father, enough is enough. We're tired of this trouble that this our son, this our daughter is bringing. Some of you have paid so much money. You've sent them to rehabs. Some of you have sent them abroad. Some of them have sent them to various places. And it looks like trouble upon trouble. There are some of you are embarrassed from going to police station after police station because of one trouble or the other. Some of you have lost jobs, you've lost opportunities because it seems like they brought reproach to the family. This is a miracle service. Let's agree. In the name of Jesus Christ, I stand in faith and in partnership with the grace upon the man of God here in this ministry. Now, I'm seeing a lot of people. Is it that you're okay? Let's do it this way. How many of you are standing for yourselves? Honestly, don't be embarrassed. Doesn't matter. Don't feel. All of you are standing for others. Okay. I just wanted to know so that we'll know those and we'll know how to minister. Now stand in faith and agree with them. Church, let's pray in 1 minute. Speak over these people. Pray like you are praying for your own child. Don't make the mistake of Esther. Pray like you are praying for your own biological child. Oh God, you are able to save to the uttermost. Here at this resurrection morning, we decree and declare the power of rebellion. The power of rebellion. The power of rebellion over our children. The power of rebellion over our siblings. The power of rebellion over our loved ones. And those of you who are following online, I want you to connect and pray from whatever nation. Connect by faith. Agree for your children. Some of you may be your husband. It may be your wife. It may be your siblings. Lord, the spirit of rebellion. The spirit of rebellion. We cast it out. We cast it out of God's people. In the name of Jesus, we declare divine rehabilitation. In the name of Jesus, you change Saul to Paul. In the name of Jesus, save to the uttermost. Save to the uttermost that they will not go to hell. That they will not waste their time in this life and end up in hell. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray right now. You are the only one, oh God, who can tell the pain of the people and the families here represented standing. Some of them have gone through untold pain. They have lost money. They have lost opportunities because of a few of their loved ones who have been under the influence of the spirit of rebellion. But here at Household of David, we decree and declare peace to their destiny. Amen. Peace to their lives. Amen. Oh, we declare nothing missing. Nothing broken. Let there be a restoration. If you healed a madman in Gadara, then oh God, there is nobody you cannot save. We decree and declare by the Spirit of God that the spirits and the altars that are back of this misbehavior, Kateis Koba, Skalibarakatos Kede, Emprekete Kata, Skabakatos Shata, Rekete Bakatos Yata. In the name of Jesus, we banish them from their lives. Lord, out of these rejected stones, supposedly, raise prophets, raise apostles, raise evangelists, raise responsible people. In the name of Jesus. And hear me. Any one of them who is under a curse that has come from the scourging tongues of men, we stand as priests of the Most High and we roll away that curse. Whether it's a paternal curse, whether it's a curse that came from a man of God because of something they did, we stand by the privilege of the election of grace and we declare, let mercy and grace speak. In the name of Jesus Christ. And everything you have lost, access, opportunities, as a result of this, your dear loved ones, may my God restore to you 100-fold. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please return to your seat rejoicing. Return to your seat rejoicing. We are still praying. I have a few minutes, but I don't know why the Lord is moving this way. If there is anybody here, please listen. Listen. If there is anybody here, you are trusting God for a job that you will come and testify here. You are really trusting God for a job. And it looks like you have tried. I don't mean maybe you graduated last week. You have been for a while. And it looks like doors are not opening. And sincerely under God, you know that you have your certificates. You have all of this. Come and stand here. We need to cancel this thing once and for all. Whilst you are standing, please pray. And all of us, let's pray along with them. It's a miracle service. Your own place will come. We'll pray for the sick, but God is dealing with issues here. Again, pray like you are praying for your child. Look, the number of people trusting God to meet their needs on this wise. Some of you, as you pray, God will raise you to become entrepreneurs that will be able to grant access. Those outside, you don't need to come in. Those at the overflow, just move to the front of your projector screen. Those outside, just move to the front of your projector screen. Hallelujah. Please listen to me. Please look up. I honestly want you to believe that there is power in the name of Jesus. This Bible you see does not lie. Don't say there are many on their graduates. That's none of your business. Just focus on what God is doing now. By the time you generalize yourself,
Hallelujah.
you have reduced your exclusivity. Remember what I taught you. The price. I want us to pray and agree that there will be such a manifestation of opportunities. Because listen, some of you, I may not be wrong. I know that there are some of you here, you are the breadwinners of your family. That's why the devil is trying to make sure that you do not rise. Because he knows that in your rising is the rising of others. Father, in the name of Jesus, you triumph over the grave. You triumph over every weakness. I stand here at this miracle service. And I agree in the name of Jesus, the Christ of God, over our brothers, our sisters, our uncles, our loved ones, together as a family of faith, we decree and declare, according to the dimension that the ark of God produced in the house of Obed-Edom, Lord, between now and the next 3 months,
oh, that there is someone who has faith. Help that lady. In the name of Jesus, I speak to you prophetically. If there is any spirit that is blindfolding opportunities that you are not seen and honored, in the name of Jesus, we cast those spirits out of your life. 3 months from now, in the name of Jesus, return with miracle jobs. We shift systems and structures. We create space for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hear me, wherever your job is, we connect it to you by prophecy. That's the implication of the Resurrection Sunday. And for those of you who have been at the same level for many years, and it looks like there is a spirit that has vowed that you will not rise, I stand by the grace of God and I push you to the next level. Please believe it. Move to the next phase. Find favor. Move to the next phase. In the name of Jesus Christ, I say it again, move to the next phase by the power that raised Christ from the dead. Did the Bible not say we have been raised up? It didn't say we went down. We have been raised up. That was the final destination. We went down with him in death, but he did not stop in the grave. Any man who has vowed that over his dead body for you to rise, may that prayer be answered. Let me say it again, that any man who has said, except I am alive, you will not rise, I stand by the God of heaven and I declare the earth will open and swallow them. And the Lord of peace himself shall give you peace always and by all means in the name of Jesus. Please return to your seats rejoicing. Return very quickly rejoicing. Hallelujah. Just one group and then I'll pray for the sick. I pray that we'll be able to finish on time. The Lord is putting it in my heart. Now, I don't know how we'll do this, but you are here and you are sensing the call of God upon your life. There are not many times we do this in conferences. There is a wind of the global harvest that is sweeping across nations.
And God is beckoning on people. Some of you have fought this war for a very long time. Listen, 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 listen. Hold on. I didn't say come out. Just hold on first. Praise God. Because many people come out like this and they are not serious with God again. God is looking for people who... There is a price for this call. Yes. It's not all about celebrity lifestyle. Yes. There is a price. The commitment to hold on to the four horns of the altar. A pledge in life and in death. There is a price. But I want to pray. I truly believe some of you have seen this thing in dreams. Some of you have seen it in visions. Some of you have fought this call for a long time. This morning, the Spirit of God is beckoning on you. Win that war. Come and stand here. I'm not saying if you want to serve Jesus, every one of us will serve Jesus. The call to the ministry. Let me tell you the implication. Those outside, you can just stand at your overflow. Look at me. For some of you, God is going to sever certain relationships in your life because of this. For some of you, God will isolate you even for many years because you have to go through the bowels of the trainings of the Spirit. Don't think this is just an impartation to just go and start a church and start a ministry. No. This is a call. Your call is unto Jesus. It is when you meet Him, you are now sent to represent Him. But I assure you, listen to me, the noblest call I know on this earth is the privilege of serving His Majesty. I have no regrets today. You do not want to imagine the things I've laid down in my life to honor this call. But I would do it 1,000 times as a proof of my love for Him. Many people go into ministry today because of money. Some go because they think it's a cheap route for fame. You just preach and they give you money after preaching. Very wrong, destructive mindsets. Others going because they want fame. They want some kind of self-aggrandizement. Ministry is a sacrifice. It's like military. You can die from day one. Not everybody in the military becomes a general. Others, their first battle is their last. You want to do ministry, your motivation must be Jesus ever, Jesus only. All of the benefits that come, they must so fade and not sustain the ability to distract you. Anointing can be an idol. Rema can be an idol. Emoji, titles, apostle can be an idol. All those things are not Jesus. Just because they are around Him. No. If you worship the 24 elders, it's still idolatry. Even though they are close to Him, it's still idolatry. The 24 elders did not die for your sins. If you worship the four living creatures, you are still an idol worshipper. If you worship the throne room, you are still an idol worshipper. Father, though we are few, we're surrounded by many who have crossed that river before. This is the song we'll be singing forever. Holy is the Lord. Father, I pray right now. There is a very strong baptism that is coming on you people. It's a baptism of hunger. At the count of three, that grace from my left to my right, my God and my King, find men. I stretch my hands as your servant. Oh God, let Deborahs arise, women of power, women of grace, women of excellence, mistresses of power. In the name of Jesus Christ, let Naomi's and Esther's arise. Father, let Elijah's arise. I declare grace. Hunger for the secret place, that you love Him more than ministry. Fresh fire upon your prayer life. The grace to pray, the grace to fast, the grace to study scripture, a higher degree of consecration in the name of Jesus Christ.
the unashamedness to break away from friends and associations, the boldness to stand alone. To stand alone, it doesn't always have to be in group. The boldness to stand alone and serve Him acceptably, I impart that grace upon you in the name of Jesus. Hear me. For some of you, as a result of this, you will step into new levels of dreams and visions. God will begin to give you details about His call upon your life. And any relationship, any association connected to your life that is impeding the training of the Spirit over your destiny, we cut it away right now. Every distraction that is eating up your focus and your attention, I pray in the name of Jesus, let it leave right now. And every other desire in your heart, aside from Jesus revealed and Jesus glorified, I declare in the name of Jesus, let it fade away. The grace to serve God acceptably, the grace to do ministry with integrity, the grace to carry genuine fire, let it come upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please return back to your seat rejoicing. Return back to your seat rejoicing. A few minutes and we're done. Now I want to pray for the sick. Please stand. You're here trusting God. Sadly, we may not be able to take testimonies, maybe just two or three, but I want to pray for the sick. There are people inside, outside, following online. You came here with all kinds of yokes, blood conditions, burdens. You don't have to come out here. Just stand where you are and lay your hands. Make contact. Can we stand, please? Let's honor this prayer. Just lay your hands, any part of your body where you are trusting God for a miracle, please lay your hands there. If it's a part of your body you cannot touch, just make contact with your chest. I want to pray for you right now. Hallelujah. Agree with me with a loud amen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Direct and bring the person that runs out now by the anointing. Someone will run out speedily. Just bring the person in front here. Please help them. I'm seeing at least 11 people. It's by the Spirit. They will literally running out. Just direct them. This is a supernatural thing God is doing. I'm seeing 11 people. This is what I'm seeing in my vision. Help them. You don't have to be an usher. Don't stand watching them, please.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. There's still some coming. Break every chain.
There's still some of them coming. There is something God is doing. I want to pray for the sick now. Mama, this woman placing her hand on her chest. Yes, ma. I want to pray. No, this, yes, the one on white. Just stand where you are, Mama. I want to pray for you. I just saw. No, please stand up, please. I saw like oil being poured upon you. This is what I'm seeing in the spirit. I stretch my hands towards you and I pray. That devil of infirmity, in the name of Jesus, let her go now. By the power that raised Christ from the dead, in the name of Jesus Christ, let her go now. Freedom for you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Please bring them out. I know that our time is gone. Please forgive me. We'll end up with impartation, but there is something God is doing. Every sickness,
every spirit behind infirmity. Please help Mama. Something is happening to that woman. My God, I'm seeing something that looks like a knife. This thing is witchcraft, though. I'm seeing something that looks like a knife coming out of this woman, that woman. Everything that is not of God planted around your life or your family. Help the same thing with this lady. Help her, please. Please cover her, help her. I declare it uprooted now in the name of Jesus. Uprooted now in the name of Jesus. Uprooted now in the name of Jesus. Now I declare, be healed in the name of Jesus. Blood conditions, be healed in the name of Jesus. I saw light coming on someone, one person in the choir here, just the worship team, just light coming on you. In the name of Jesus, whatever that light is for, we declare that that ministry finds expression in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I declare anyone, any bone condition, inside and outside, be healed right now in Jesus' name. I'm feeling severe pain right now, physically. I'm feeling it right here. I believe that that's for someone. The Lord is healing that person. This man, look at this. Out of him, I'm seeing a spirit behind this man. I don't know what's wrong with him. Look at what is happening. In the name of Jesus, free now. Free in the name of Jesus. Look at me. What was wrong with that man? Hold on. That man. Tell him to stand up and check himself now. Is he a member of this church? Sir, look at me. What was wrong with you? Huh?
I had stroke 3 years ago.
Stroke?
Yes.
Walk now. Come. Run. Look at household of David. Give Jesus praise. Sir, do what I'm doing. Look at me, sir. Do what I'm doing. Come on, give Jesus praise. Give Jesus praise. Wherefore God has so highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. Look at the man, is even surprised. My God, sir, look at me. Congratulations. It will never return to you again. How many years, sir?
3 years
stroke. Here at this priest conference, is someone celebrating Jesus? Now I decree and declare, every other bone condition, anyone brought in a stretcher, I declare you stand up right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, sir. You can return to your seat. I wish we had time for testimonies. But the Lord is revealing to me, I'm seeing a lady. You came in here with multiple lumps. I want you to check it now. It's gone completely. You will be surprised. Check it now. The power of God is touching you. In the name of Jesus. Every faulty blood condition, in the name of Jesus Christ, let it be corrected now. In the name of Jesus. There's someone, you are a sickler. This should be like SS. There is a miracle that is happening to you right now.
Hallelujah.
That's the person. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There is a supernatural blood transfusion happening.
Hallelujah.
We change that blood group, that genotype, whatever it is, let it be changed now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There is a lady here. You have your situation is what the Bible calls the issue of blood. And this thing has embarrassed you for a long time. Right now, the power of God is touching you. Supernaturally. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. There's someone, is like your left ear. You don't hear completely or you don't hear very well. This is what I'm saying. But the power of God is touching you right now. In the matchless name of Jesus. In the matchless name of Jesus. Let there be a miracle. All kinds of eye conditions, be healed right now. Migraine headaches, be healed right now. Heart palpitations, be healed right now. Whether I mention your case or not, I stretch my hands. Madam, that woman,
wearing blue, waving her hands. Lift your hands. I'm seeing an angel pour something like oil on you. I stretch my hands from here and I declare in the name of Jesus, that pain around your chest, let it go, never to return. Never to return. In the name of Jesus Christ. Never to return. And I pray for you finally. We have to end. Every family here that has gone under seasons of pain. Listen, we're discussing peace. There are families, not just the pandemic alone, but probably in the last 1 year, you've had to go through all kinds of crisis, all kinds of challenging situations. You don't have to come out. I think I heard when Victoria was ministering here and she spoke about obtaining grace even for the days that come. Very powerful word from God. You will need to understand the peace of God. Haven't had peace with God now. The Bible says, peace I give you. It says, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. There is a peace that can garrison your heart and shield you from the vicissitudes of life. That when other people are languishing, you can sleep even in the midst of the storm. It is not every time God takes the storm. There are times He focuses on your boat to make sure your boat is safe, even while the storm is moving around. Either ways, He's still Lord. Find rest. When you check and see Jesus still in your boat, rest. And I speak right now in the name of Jesus, every turbulence that has plagued any life and any family, I lend my voice with your pastor and the angel over this house to decree and declare, peace be still. Over every storm in your life, peace be still. Every storm in your finances, peace be still. Every storm in your marriage, your relationships, peace be still. Every storm in your career, peace be still. Every storm in your education, peace be still. Every storm in your health, peace be still. In the name of Jesus, may the blessing of this conference, from today and from the time it started, all the servants of God, the men, the women of God who mounted this stage, I stand in agreement with the graces upon their life to administer peace unto you. Everything that concerns you experiences peace. And for the members and the workers of household of David, we decree and declare, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. One more time, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Wait. Bring that back. I know that somehow you trust God for our healing. At times, miracle happens immediately. Sometimes people get home and they find out that they are well. Do you believe you've been touched today? Your yes is not very sure. I'm going to do exactly what I was led to do. So put my hand on your nails. Jesus is the healer. Spirit of paralysis. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Satan, take your hands off her right now. I bind you. And I cast you away, spirit of paralysis. Let's receive strength in the name of Jesus Christ. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, be made perfectly whole. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. She's fine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. I saw that she wanted Apostle to pray for her. That was how you brought her to the front. But something has happened to her. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sir, I want to
Ma, don't cry about what you are declaring. Just declare it in faith. He will not die. Don't say it tearfully. Say it by faith. Can you just take care of her, please? Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Lift up your hands, everybody. How many people have been visited today? What I want to ask Apostle to do is to pray for everybody. While preparing for this conference, many of you gave towards this conference. During the conference, many of you did. And I said yesterday that we are ending on a note where all of us will give. You have given during the conference. You are giving today. Because I remember a word came to us, Papa Wailoke, and I emphasized it that sometimes in a meeting like this, we are led to take a step that is beyond us. It's to take us to another level financially. And I just want him, because of the prevailing atmosphere, I want him to pray over everybody's finances. Are you ready to give a seed? There is giving casually, there is giving in an extraordinary way. Nobody is to tell you, give this amount or give that amount, but you have to search your spirit. In 10 seconds to 30 seconds, everybody, bow your head and just think. This is the last session of the conference. I'm not asking us to sit down, just think. What is the Lord leading you to give? And if he has led you already, no problem. Because I'm just going to ask Apostle to pray over everybody. What is the Lord leading you to do? What is the Lord leading you to do? Sometimes in a meeting like this, the voice comes to our heart, do this, do this, do that. And in many cases, we disobey. Sometimes we walk in fear. We do less than what he has asked us to do. Partial obedience is no obedience at all. It's about the Spirit of God nudging you inside you. You know, when Nathaniel said, I don't know why Apostle was led to do that with Nathaniel Bassi. But you heard what Nathaniel said yesterday, that he got a call from Apostle asking for his accounts. There is only one way when it comes to finances in this kingdom. You can be prayed for. When you are prayed for, the anointing rests on you. Until you take a step of faith, you don't give the anointing an opportunity to manifest. I was sure when Nathaniel told me, when Pastor Nathaniel told me the Apostle sent, I know, see the way he described this, he said, when he saw the alert, he had rest. Rest giving alert. But then I was so deeply moved, because I would have thought it should be the other way around. But that talks about the kind of person that person is. Again, I don't want to start here to start saying sometimes when he will tell us that we shouldn't worry about his flights. And at times he comes here and he sends a gift here. At times he prays over the check he's given and he returns it back to the church. I'm telling you all these things. I've never said them out before, but these are the things he does at times. I have discovered that to walk in power, walk in glory, and walk in prosperity, you pray, but the line also is that you do some sacrificial stuff. It is true. There's no other way. But you have to be led by the Spirit. So close your eyes in a minute. We're about to give. I just sense this heavy atmosphere, this heavy anointing. That is why I don't want people to give. I'm not saying bring this amount. I just don't want you to do a traditional way of giving. It gives traditional results. When we come for a meeting, just pull out a certain amount. Can you just meditate a while and say for the first time, Spirit of God, what exactly? Maybe you are not even prepared. I'm going to tell you to come back. Whatever. Just open your heart and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Everyone that was visited in the Bible offered a sacrifice. Every single person. From Gideon to Abraham, they built an altar around the visitation. It's a system that ensures that visitation becomes something that resides with you. It's very important. And I'm going to ask the Apostle to pray for all of us. Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord. Very powerful. Everything Pastor said is the truth. They are uncomfortable truths, and sometimes, especially people who have integrity, find it very difficult to challenge people on this wise, because as you know, here and there have been abuses and exaggerations here, but it still does not mean that this is not the way. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. I challenge you to give. It is true that when you give, God brings increase. It is true. There is a supernatural dimension to wealth, more than the products and the services that you offer. There is a supernatural dimension. Praise the Lord. This church is a testament that God is able to lift people, and by the privilege of his grace, we are benefactors of the mercy and the grace of God haven't walked in keeping with these scriptural principles. So I want us to pray. Father, the Bible decrees and declares that God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that ye, having all sufficiency, that you will abound in every good work. I pray in the name of Jesus, and I speak over your seed sown. It is the seed sown that is blessed to increase, not the seed available, not the seed with you. I decree and declare increase for you. Please believe it. I prophesy increase for you. For many of you, this seed will stand as a resistance against the spirits of ill health. There is a way poverty manifests. It will make you waste money on sickness until everything is gone. I declare by this seed that the devourer is rebuked from your life. The waster is rebuked from your life. And every door that has been closed over your destiny, in the name of Jesus, the Christ of God, the same way the door of the grave opened, we open that door. In the name of Jesus Christ. When Peter came to the house of Cornelius, he says, your prayer and your alms, your giving, is what has brought you this blessing. See, paraphrasing, it was his giving and his prayer. You have prayed, now you have given. In the name of Jesus, let it come to you. Press down, good measure, press down, shaken together, running over. Let men give unto your bosom. If there's anyone here who is under any kind of financial pressure, you are owing personally or corporately, there are bills on your neck, in the name of Jesus and by the power of the prophetic, we declare that mercy speaks for you right now.
Amen.
We give your seed a voice in the realm of the spirit.
Amen.
We command it to go around the city of Lagos.
Amen.
Or whatever city you are domiciled in, to gather its kind.
Amen.
And return to you a thousandfold.
Amen.
Be blessed, you remain blessed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen,
amen and amen. God bless
amen.
You.
Thank you, sir.